an interest in your prayers tonight as we look into the Word of God, because it's only as the Spirit of God anoints the Word that it will make a difference in our life. There can be charismatic preaching, there can be things that stir the emotion, but those things alone will not make permanent change in our life. And so what we need is the Word coupled by the Spirit, because the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So we just ask the Lord to bless the Word of God tonight. Written on the board, the moving of the water. Message as I, last week, as we were looking to the Lord about this meeting and seeking Him for what He would say to us. This is a message the Lord put on my heart for the first meeting, for the first service of this camp meeting. I'd like to turn over to the book of John in the 5th chapter. It's a very familiar story, event that transpired. Keep in mind as we read that this is more than a story. This is not a fable. This is not a fairy tale. This is something that really happened, and I would that we be inspired with it tonight. Said, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So if you can get just a little picture in your mind, I know probably all of us have been in the hospital. Maybe you've gone to places where there are many different people that are afflicted. And here we have a picture of a lot of people that were, some were blind, some were halt. It said they couldn't walk, or they were limping. Some of them, it said they were withered. They were waiting for the moving of the water. Been places before that have been very similar situations, all manner of sickness and disease, because this is the place that people were putting their hope in. In every once in a while, and we don't know how often it happened, an angel of the Lord would come, and it said the people were waiting for the moving of the water. They were waiting for an angel to come and trouble the water, and the first person to get in the water would be made whole. Now, it is obvious by that they did not know when the angel was going to move the water. They didn't know, or else if they knew the time, they would have. I wonder why the man we're going to read about, you know the story, but you wonder why everybody wasn't just waiting right there on the edge, ready to put their hand in the moment the angel came. It was because there were probably long periods of time that elapsed, and they had to eat, and they had to sleep, and so they came thinking, if I can come to this pool, maybe I can be the one. So even out of the congregation here tonight, do you know there would probably be a little bit of rivalry if we were there? Because only one of us could get it. And obviously they were there hoping they were the one. So when the angel came, there was a race to get to the moving of the water. Well, the story didn't end there. It tells us about one particular man. It said a certain man was there which had an infirmity for 38 years. Now, do you know if you've had an affliction for 38 years, a lot of times people give up hope and they just think this is the way it's going to be. It's not going to change now. But there was something that kept this man at that pool. After having been sick or lame for 38 years, he was trusting that maybe this time I can be the one to get there when the water begins to move and the angel comes. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. You know, Jesus began to ask the man some questions, but Jesus, by looking at him, he knew exactly the condition that the man was in. Do you know tonight when the Lord looks on us, He knows exactly the condition that we're in. The Lord knows where we are physically. He knows where we are financially. He knows where we are emotionally. He knows where we are spiritually. The Lord knows the needs that we have because the Lord walked there and looked down and He saw. He said, a certain man. You know, it gives me, it warms my heart and encourages my spirit to know that the Lord is still stopping and speaking to individuals. The Lord didn't just get up with a loud voice and say, what, does anybody have a problem here? But the Lord, when He looked on, He saw an individual. And the Lord looks on us individually tonight, and He knows exactly where we're at. There may be things tonight that have troubled us in our spirits that we've never told anybody else. But you know the Lord knows what those things are at. At home, every once in a while, we did it this year, at the beginning of the year, we pass out an envelope to everybody in the congregation. And I gave them a printout to write down a Thanksgiving from the last year and to write down a very personal request, something that they were wanting the Lord to do for them this year. And then we had a place to put down a soul that you were going to pray for. Every day we're going to pray for this individual. And we have them put them in the envelopes, and I collect them, and I tell them, no one is ever going to read this envelope. If I die, those things, there's instructions given that those envelopes be given back to the individual. And so then at the end of the year, we're going to pass them back out to the congregation and see what God has done. But the things that we wrote in that envelope are not things that we would just want to publicly broadcast. Those are things that are private, things in my life, something I want the Lord to work in my life. The Lord knows what those needs are. And so from time to time, we say, let's remember our envelope requests. Let's remember those things that are closest to our heart that maybe nobody else knows about. You know, tonight the Lord knows your envelope request. Maybe you haven't been given an envelope. I could get one for it if you want. But here's the thing. The Lord knows the needs that we have. And when it is something that touches our heart, it's more than coming to service. And please understand, and it's time for prayer requests, and I think, oh, I just remembered a need. I'm going to put in a prayer request. Is it something you've been praying for through the week? Or is it something it's easier just to tell someone else to pray about? But when it's something that we're carrying a burden about, I have a need in my life. And I've been praying about it. Lord, I'm desperate. I'm desperate for You to do something in my life. And so the Lord came by and it said He knew. He knew what the cause was. He knew what the problem was. And He asked him a question. He said, wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Do you know that this message tonight is not just for the sinner? It's for all of us. Because we all have needs. And I think sometimes we start accepting our needs and we don't think they're ever going to change. Am I the only one that's been there? It just seems like this is the way it is. And I have prayed about it, but I'm tired of praying because nothing has changed. And the Lord comes along and says, Michael, do you want to be made whole? And used to when I was a child, the answer would have been, no, duh. I mean, yes, of course I do. And that was what the Lord was asking. He said, do you want to be made whole? Do you want me to do something for you? And it said the impotent man answered and said, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. In other words, when there's the moving of the water, I can't get to the pool fast enough. Because someone else always gets there before me. And so he began to tell Jesus why he was not healed. Do you know that it is easy for us tonight to begin to offer reasons why we have the needs that we have? We can have a list of reasons. This is the reason I've got this problem in my life. And these are the things that seems like it's unchangeable. But folks, the joy and the reality is tonight that Jesus came to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Jesus came to do something in our life that we do not have the ability or the power to change. So when we say it's impossible, the Lord's going to agree with us, but with man it's impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are what? They're possible. Because God, that's the very nature of a miracle, is the divine intervention in the natural course of something. So when the man was offering his reasons and his excuses why he wasn't healed, Jesus listened and he said, Jesus said unto him, rise and take up thy bed and walk. You know, it really doesn't matter that there has been no one to get you down to the moving when the water is moving and when the angel troubles. I have power. And he said, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. And it said, immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. We live in a world that is full of needy people. And I look around at the world and I see the neediness as never before, even among God's people. I am seeing more and more people with emotional needs and nerve problems and depressions and things that, folks, we all need a touch from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is able to fortify us and enable us to go beyond those things and work in our life. Well, we look at addiction sometimes and think people are too far gone. The good news again tonight is the Lord can still break the power of sinful addictions. And when you look on your loved ones and you think they can never get out of that, they can get out of it by the power of Jesus Christ. There are so many testimonies of examples of the God taking someone that was so bound up by sin and they were delivered by the power of Jesus Christ. Do you know that that means whatever the need is in my own life, I can come to God with assurance and say, Lord, I need you to work in my life. And maybe I've got all these reasons of why I have that need, but the Lord is still saying, take up thy bed and walk. But you know, that's why Jesus came. That was his mission. Over in Matthew 9, and I'll just reference the scripture. But Jesus said, they that be whole, remember what the rest of it is? They that be whole need not a physician, but them that are sick. Do you know it doesn't matter? We don't need to be ashamed of the needs of our life. God's the one that created us. And we didn't choose all the circumstances in life. And maybe we're suffering because of a result of bad decisions we've made. But there is still a Savior tonight that is in the business of curing the sick. And the sick are not just cured by what man can do. You've got a headache? Some would say, well, here's an aspirin, here, this and that. When God gets in, He does something man cannot do. You see, God is a miracle-working God. And when He and we come with these needs, Jesus came to minister to those that are sick. And I know sometimes that even among God's people, and we need to be careful about this, we can think that we have to put up this front that everything is good and we're strong and we have no problems. And then people that come among us think, oh, these are these perfect people. You know, I'm going to tell you what you already know tonight is, and that is all of us have needs in our life. And when we can begin to be more open and say, you know what, I'm really struggling spiritually. It's easiest to say, I have a headache, would you pray for me? But when we say, you know what, I'm not loving like I ought to love. Or I'm really struggling to forgive someone and I need the Lord to help me. Do you know there is power in the Lord tonight? He wants to minister to those needs that we have, and He knows we have the need anyway. He looked on the individual and He knew exactly what the problem was. And so then we remember the many times that Jesus, as He went, and you can reference another one in Matthew 9 as well, verse 35 and 36. When Jesus went to the different towns and the synagogues, and He was teaching and preaching the kingdom of God, and it said He was healing every sickness and disease. And when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion, because they fainted, and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. When Jesus looked on the multitude, He was moved with compassion. You know, we never need think that the Lord is going to look down His figurative spiritual knows at us because of the needs that are in our life tonight. Jesus came to minister to everyone, unsaved and saved alike, to those that are hurting and need a miracle in their life. And Jesus was moved with compassion. All of the people that were at the pool of Bethesda, there was the moving of the water, and that's when healing came. That's when healing came. I am thankful tonight that the ministering hand of Christ does not just come to one of us, but it's big enough to minister to each and every one of us in our need tonight. The man couldn't get into the water soon enough. And sometimes we want and we desire change and it doesn't happen. But you know, when Jesus passes our way, things start happening. And I want us to know that when Jesus passes by, the waters are going to start moving. The moving of the waters. Have you all heard the expression before? Maybe sometimes in an altar call service, that the expression is, when the troubles are water, now is the time to seek the Lord. When the waters are troubled, that's really what this is talking about tonight. When Jesus passes by our way and He gives us hope, when He talks to our heart and reveals needs in our life, that is the time to get in the troubled water. I've shared some, and maybe some of you have heard this, but in February and March, we were in Kenya and Tanzania. And in Tanzania, there is a lot of witchcraft. And there are lots of witch doctors. There are many people that are possessed by spirits, and that's a subject for another time. But spirits of the enemy are real. And many times in this country, they're covered over with medication. But you get in other countries, and the very obvious, clear, under the power of evil spirits. And there was a someone that was involved in witchcraft, and their purpose and their desire is to get these spirits in the lives of their family members. And there was a beautiful 17-year-old girl that had a grandfather that was in witchcraft. And she got possessed with these evil spirits. She was not able to stay in school anymore. She was not in her right mind. She was under a different power. And her family literally had her tied up and in chains in their home, trying to hold her back. But when she was free, she was out wandering at night, sleeping in the streets, being moved by spirits that were not of God. They were getting very close to taking this young woman to be under the permanent care of a witch doctor. Her name was Mictalita. They heard that there was a gospel meeting. We were there in Tanzania having meeting, and this was a woman that was going to a service somewhere, and they knew we were there for services, and she wanted to get under the moving of the water. It was their last hope. They walked, I don't know how many hours, I think it was maybe possibly more than a day, and they brought that young girl into the service because they wanted to be, if the waters are troubled, if the Lord is here, we are desperately in need of help. This young girl came forward, and they were surprised that she even had the wherewithal to come to the meeting. Her mother brought her. She came and she knelt down, and when prayer began to pray over this young woman, the spirits began to exhibit themselves, and it was an ugly scene. And it was something that had an impact on my children. They saw the reality of the power Satan. And we prayed and prayed over her, and then we went ahead and finished the service, and then we went back and prayed over her more. And I will just report to you tonight that young woman was delivered from the power of evil spirits. The Lord set her free that afternoon. She was in her right mind, and we've checked up on her since then at least twice. We wondered, how is Mentalita doing? And every time we're getting a good report. She was going to go back to school. She was just a sweet young woman, but she'd been under the influence and the power of Satan. I share that tonight to encourage you all to know that God is still working miracles. God can still work in our lives. It's not just from evil spirits. But I bring that out because we say, well, I'm not that far gone. If you were that far gone, there is still power in Jesus Christ. But if it's something else, and when we have a need, when there is the moving of the water, we heard there's a man of God over here. We heard there's a gospel meeting. If there's any hope at all for deliverance, we're going to come. You know, they found deliverance there. It was because the anointing and the power of God was in that place. Do you know tonight that when the waters are being moved, that is the time to seek the Lord? And that's what I want to challenge and encourage us as we start this meeting. And it's not just for the meeting. But when the Lord talks to your heart and the Lord moves in your spirit, that is the time to step into the water. That is the time that the Lord can bring healing. That is the time the Lord can give you the strength and the grace that you need to overcome things in your life. But if they wouldn't have come to that meeting, do you know where she would be tonight? We would probably still be out in the streets wandering back and forth, not in her right mind, with no hope left. But because they moved when the waters were troubled, she's in her right mind now with a testimony of the power of God. Tonight, take advantage when the waters are troubled. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it when you're driving down the road or when you're in your home and the Spirit of the Lord comes and starts dealing with your heart. Don't wait and say, well, I'll wait till I get to service on Sunday. No, when the Spirit is moving, that's the time to fall on your knees and pray. During this meeting, when you're under the sound of the gospel and the Spirit of the Lord is talking and dealing with your heart. And I'm not just talking about to the sinner. That's for all of us. When the Lord is dealing and the waters are troubled, that's the time to respond, because if we don't respond then, it is a very good possibility that the waters will not be troubled for quite some time. And there are many people that have left services, they've left their homes when the Spirit of the Lord was dealing and they missed out on the blessing. I don't want myself and I don't want you to miss out on the blessings that God has for us in this meeting. But it means that it's up to us when the Spirit of the Lord is showing me a need and I feel that draw in my spirit, step into the water. No one's going to keep you back, but that's the time to take advantage of the opportunity. When Jesus called His disciples to follow Him, do you realize the Scripture says they immediately followed Him? In other words, now's the time. Here the call has gone out. I want you to follow me. What would have happened if they would have said, not right now? Don't we read of others in the Scripture that have said, well, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. When do we read about that season coming? When the Lord calls, that is the time to answer. There is a Scripture in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 44. And I have been so stirred this year with this passage. It said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I don't know how much thought that we give to that passage. But Jesus said, no man can come except the Father draw him. You know how hard it is to find deliverance or find victory in your life when you don't really feel any conviction, when you don't really have the Father's not drawing you? It's like, well, I think I'll pray today and I'd like this change in my life. And how has that worked for you? Except the Father draw him. No man can come. Do you know this morning that tonight this is the reason why it is imperative that when the call of the Spirit is in our life, that's the time that the water is moving. And that's the time to respond. Because there have been many people that have delayed their response. Even in services. Have y'all ever been in a service and the Lord was talking to your heart and you sat there and you knew the Spirit was talking to you? And the Lord wanted to do something in your life. He was calling for a change. He was calling for a sacrifice. He was calling for a consecration. He was calling for something in your life, and or something He wanted to do for you. And you sat there and thought, when I get home, I'm going to pray. That is a noble aspiration. But saints, it doesn't work like it works when the moving of the waters occur. When the Spirit of the Lord is calling, that is the time to step into the water to get the help you need. It'll be a lot easier because that's the time the Father's calling. So I just want to challenge and encourage all of us, whether it's in the camp meeting or whether you're, again, driving down the road or in the privacy of your bedroom, when the Spirit of God talks in your heart, that's the time to get down before God and do business with Him. Because that's the Lord's faithfulness drawing and calling us to Him. That's why the prophet Isaiah said to seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Because if we don't step into the water when it's troubled, tomorrow the water might not be troubled. Because tomorrow's a new day. But if I can step in the water when it's moving and troubled, when Jesus passes my way, I can step into the water and get the help I need today. Then tomorrow when it's a new day, I'm still going to have the benefits of what the Lord did in my life yesterday. So let's step into the water, folks. When we neglect the moving of the water, when the Spirit of God deals, do you know that next time it's going to be a little more difficult to get in the water? It's going to be a little more difficult. And that is the reason why, and I'd like to just share very briefly as we come to a conclusion, but that's the reason why we have this altar in this chapel. The reason we have the altar is because there is no power in this wood in and of itself, all right? There's no power in that wood, but there is power in submission. There is power in humility. There is power when the Lord is drawing me and stirring and moving, and I step into the water and I come to a place to humble myself before God in prayer. Folks, it's a place to meet God. It's why we have altar services in meetings, and it's why we give invitations. But there's something about the altar that many people are afraid of. One of the reasons why, and I'll say to the children and all of us, just because someone comes to an altar prayer and sometimes think, oh, they're getting saved. You know, this altar is not just to be saved. If there's sin in your life, there's no better place than to come in a place of humility before God when the Spirit's dealing with your heart. But you might be saved, you might have the Holy Spirit, and the Lord starts dealing with you saying, I want you to consecrate, I've got a job for you to do, and you feel the pull of the Spirit. That's the troubled water. When that's what this altar's for. This altar's to come and lay your burden down before the Lord. This altar is a place of consecration. This altar is a place of renewal. Even going back in the book of Exodus, when you read about the tabernacle that was in the wilderness, before they went into the most holy place. See, the most holy place is where the very presence of God dwelt. Before you could go in, and only again, the high priest was the only one that could go in once a year. But before the high priest went in, there was a blood sacrifice given. And the blood was applied to the golden altar, and they applied that, and incense was burned before they could go into the presence of God. And when they went into the most holy place, there was the Ark of the Covenant. And on the top was what they called the mercy seat. It's where the high priest could have communion with God, and God would not deal from a place of judgment, but He would deal from the mercy seat. Lord, I come needy before you. I'm not looking for judgment, but Lord, I need your help. I need your mercy in my life. But before you could get into the presence of God, they went by way of the altar. Well, there's some significance there. Again, the altar is not necessarily just this bench. If you're at home and the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with you and you kneel down before your bed and pray, that's your altar. If you're driving down the road and the Spirit of the Lord starts troubling your waters and starts moving the waters and you humble yourself and cry out to God, that's your altar. But don't neglect the altar tonight, because that's where the blood is applied. That's where the presence of God is. And we could just go back and look at the literal altars that the patriarchs of old built before God. Remember, the altar was built for a sacrifice of sin. When there was sin, they built an altar to God and put the sacrifice there. It's where Jacob, when the Lord met Jacob, and remember he had the vision of the ladder and the angels going up and down, symbolizing the communion and connection with God, with us mankind here on earth. He built an altar at Bethel, a place that God met me. Folks, when the Lord is troubling the waters and He's meeting with you, come and confirm it at an altar of prayer. Come to the altar and say, Lord, I want to have communion with you, and I know you're dealing with me. Maybe things have been a little distance, but Lord, I want to come into your presence. Do you know there have been many victories found at these altars of prayer right here? And I know Dad has told all of you, because I've heard him do it. He said there was a warm spot. You're sitting in my old seat. He said there's a warm spot, and that was figuratively speaking, but you know, we don't need to be afraid of the altar. Children and young people, not just here, but when the Lord talks to your heart, there is no shame to come to the altar and pray. And if I've come as a minister. I've come to the altar and sought the Lord because I needed something from God. It's a good place to meet the Lord. It's a good place to commune with Him. It's a place of mercy. It's a place of prayer. Abraham built an offer of sacrifice. Remember when he put Isaac on the altar? It was a place of consecration. When the waters are troubled and the Lord is calling for a deeper consecration, that's what this altar is for as well. It's for sin. It's for sacrifice. It's for consecration. It's a place to lay your burden down. Have you ever been in a place that you were so burdened down? And you heard the voice of Jesus saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And he said, I'll give you rest. What better place than to come when the Lord calls me? And if I'm in service, what better place than the altar to come and say, Lord, I'm burdened and I just want to lay my burden at your feet. Folks, it's a place you can win some victories because it's a place that God will commune with us. And when we come to the altar, do you know that one can chase 1,000 and two can chase 10,000. At home, we have a kind of a tacit understanding in our local congregation that if you want to, just sometimes you don't want to pray with someone else and you just need to pray. We say there's some benches up here on the front that if you just need to talk to God, don't go home without talking to God when He's dealing with you. Just come up to the benches and pray. But don't underestimate the power of an agreement of prayer. When you're struggling with something, there is something about having someone pray with you that the devil doesn't like it, because there's power in agreement. There's accountability in it. The Lord blesses that. Every instance that I know of in the New Testament of someone receiving the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, it was when someone that already had the Holy Spirit laid their hands on them and prayed that they would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So why should I be ashamed then to come to the altar and say, I have a need and I'd like someone to pray with me and give me some counsel? But most of all, it's not a place of counseling. There could be some of that. But most of all, it's a place to make contact with God when the waters are moved. So when the water is troubled and the Spirit of God is dealing, folks, that's the time to come. I want to challenge us not to be afraid. Not to be afraid of the altar. Don't be afraid to seek God in prayer. And you know, frankly, When someone else comes down to the altar and I see him come down, frankly, it's none of my business why they're down there. I'm just glad someone has a desire to come into the presence of God. It does, children, it doesn't mean, oh, they're not saved. No, they may be saved and on fire for God, and the Lord saying, I want you to consecrate something because I called you out to special service. That's a place to meet God. So, folks, the Lord is still in the business of working miracles. He's still in the business of looking, being moved with compassion at our needs. But when the waters are moved, let's take advantage and seek a place at the altar of prayer.